Hey there, this is David Fitzgerald, the author of Jesus Mything in Action, and you're listening to The Canadian Atheist.
I'm making the assumption that all of you check in every now and then with some kind of news outlet and have a view of what's going on in the rest of the world. Isn't it as plain as could be that those who commit the most callous, the most cruel, the most brutal, the most indiscriminate atrocities of all do so precisely because they believe they have divine permission? Shall I answer my own question? Shall I insult you by adding more? Who can't think of an example of this kind? Let me put the question in another form that I've put in now. Every forum from YouTube to C-SPAN to the wireless to the print to the radio to the television and innumerable forums to those who say that without God there can be no morality. You are to ask yourself two questions. You are to name a moral action undertaken or a moral and ethical statement made by a believer. I dare say you can do it. You are then to say that you can not imagine a non-believer making this moral statement or undertaking this moral action. Can you think, can you now think, can any of you think, don't have to answer now, you have all night, and you have my email. And I've done this with everyone from the Archbishop of Canterbury to even lower people. You name me the ethical and moral action or statement that a believer can make and an unbeliever cannot, and there's a prize. And I'll tell you that about that later. Now there's a second question. Think of something wicked that only a believer would be likely to do, or something wicked that only a believer would be likely to say. You've already thought of it. The suicide bombing community is entirely religious. The genital mutilation community is entirely religious. I wouldn't say that the child abuse community is entirely religious. I wouldn't. But it's bidding to be entirely religious. It operates on the old Latin slogan, no child's behind left.
Welcome to The Canadian Atheist, a podcast about news, current events, and commentary on all things atheism from a Canadian perspective. Now, if this podcast carries the explicit tag and wears it like a motherfucking badge of honor, so if you get offended, you might want to switch off. The CA records each week live from Apostasy Studios. Why not join in the discussion? Find us on Facebook, email us at theca@rogers.com, or follow us on the old Twitter machine at @the_CA_podcast. If we're amused or tweaked by your stuff, we just might even use it on the show. And now, here are Michael and Dean.
All right, here we go. Welcome to CA. Today is Saturday, April 4th, 2020. I'm Michael.
I'm Dean.
And we are practicing safe podcasting. This is the first time that we've done this.
Yes, we are social at a distance.
Yes, that we have been remote.
So both locked in our homes.
Yeah, should be interesting. Oh, what a time. So it's been a fucking minute since we did this. It's been a month.
Yeah, it's been a while, that's for sure.
You know, shit happening and schedules and everything else like that. So, hey, Dean, world's what's apart. New in the world?
Everybody's locked in their home, and people like me are locked in their home with their wives and children, and it's fun.
Yes. Oh, that I hear that sarcasm. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you heard just before we started, my four-year-old just going insane.
Yeah, that was special.
He wanted to come and play with Daddy while I was doing this.
Yeah. If ever there was a time that it is true, that kids ruin everything, it was evidenced by that 30-second monologue of screaming. Okay, so, yeah, the world is a different place than when we last spoke, people. We now have, so I got some statistics as of yesterday at about 9:30 p.m. We have approximately 1,040,000 cases of COVID-19 worldwide. It has taken the lives of a little over 55,000 people, and approximately 250,000 people have recovered. This is startling. It's fucking scary.
It's a world changer. It's a wake up call for a pandemic that is more deadly.
Yeah, Yep.
I mean, this could easily have a, like, it easily could have been something that has, like, a much higher kill rate or mortality rate. We are saying, like, the best estimate so far is that COVID-19 is between 1 and 2% fatality rate, as opposed to the seasonal flu, which is a 0.1%. So it's anywhere from 10 to 20 times as deadly as that. But we very easily could have gotten one, something that was, you know, 20, 50, 80%.
Yeah. It's pretty scary. I don't know if it's a glimmer of some of hope or not. I'm pleased to report, you know, sad for others, but Canada hasn't broached the top 10 yet when it comes to cases or deaths. So that's encouraging. Of course, USA, USA. The United States of America is in first place. And if there's ever a time, if there's ever a time you want to be a fucking loser, it's now.
Yeah. Well, America first, right?
Yeah. And this, the whole thing. I mean, was it just yesterday, just to cover a little bit of other news. It was just yesterday that Trump signed an order basically banning 3M from selling N95 masks to Canada.
Because we had procured a bunch of supplies from the States, or they said they were globally sourced.
Yeah.
But much of it was coming from the United States, and he has now declared, like, wartime act or whatever, and keeping everything that's made in America in America.
What I think is interesting, though, is what I don't think has accompanied that, and I could be wrong. Send us an email or something. Let me know if I'm wrong. But my understanding is that the Wartime Act has several pieces to it. And what has been enacted is this, you know, what's made here stays here. But what hasn't been enacted is basically the order to manufacturing facilities to stop making what you make and start making what we need.
No, yeah, he's asked and other companies have offered, but it's not like written down. It's not.
Yeah,
you will do this.
And they do have the capacity to do it. They can say, you know, you used to make that. Cool. Now you make this.
Yeah.
And so start making those.
And the thing is that GM and these other companies and stuff like that, they are respirators or whatever else is required, but they're not doing full capacity.
Yeah.
Right? They offered, so, and they say, and Trump was like, yeah, okay, good. You're offering, do as much or as little as you like.
Yeah. Instead of, you know, hire a third shift, we'll figure out a way to pay you and, make all of them. Yeah. It's hard. So, I mean, this has become the thing, right? Where you're watching, I think everybody hearing us right now is doing the same thing. You know, you're watching these things, two or three times a day, these new COVID-19, basically news bulletins, you know, update hearings and stuff like that are going on. And it's really weird. Toronto has, for all those people who are listening to us from other places, first of all, hope you're all safe. And thanks for listening for sure. Toronto has instituted basically social distancing laws now. And if you are out and about, you can be fined. And I think as of this morning, it was raised up to $1,000. Did you hear, Dean, did you hear about in Brampton, which is a suburb of Toronto, day before yesterday, there was a house party. People had, like, there was a backyard full of people, but like, yep, like a neighborhood party. And somebody called, good for them, whoever you are, you're a good person, called the police. And now those people, along with the homeowners, are facing a total of almost $100,000 in fines. And as fucking well they should.
You just don't understand what is going on right now.
No.
You are going to either get sick or make people who are really vulnerable to dying sick.
Yep.
This is not like when they say social distancing, when they say stay inside your homes, that's what you do. This is what the scientific experts, the medical experts, are telling us to do, and they're telling us to do it for a reason. We want to flatten the curve, people. Our hospitals are already at 100% capacity, and pushing them over 100% is not going to help anybody.
Exactly. Joseph
like Brandt. As soon as hospital workers start getting sick, then we're screwed. And we got nothing.
Yep. Joseph Brandt Hospital, not too far from Toronto, was the first hospital in Ontario. I think the first hospital in Canada to set up an exterior structure to house patients. Luckily, if there's any kind of silver lining to this that you can take away in any way, shape, or form, this didn't happen in fucking January.
Yeah.
Although the first cases were reported around then, but...
the very first case in China was reported November? In December.
Well, yeah, okay. Can you imagine trying to work outside? I mean, we had some pretty fucking cold weather in January.
Yeah.
This would be a drastically different situation if that was the case right now, for sure. Okay, so bunch of stuff. Pardon me, bunch of stuff to talk about. Before we get into the kind of news portion, we got some audio and stuff. It'll be fun. There was a Modern Day Debate, right? Everybody knows James at Modern Day Debate. I was on his YouTube channel a month or so ago, debating Darwin Dot, whatever the fuck he calls himself now. Darth Dawkins on Christianity and atheism and stuff like that. And anyway, just last week, Skylar Fiction, who's another, got a great YouTube channel. You should definitely check him out. Skylar Fiction, along with Dr. Josh Bowen, Digital Hammurabi. Anyway, Skylar Fiction was on Modern Day Debate, and he was debating S.J. Thomason, She's a YouTube and Twitter apologist. She's interesting. I've been trying not to just use the label dishonest with people, but she comes across as, she doesn't come across as dishonest, but, and I say that because, you know, her arguments are valid or are sound, if not valid. But what she doesn't do is she doesn't engage. And I'm careful in when I criticize, because, you know, who am I that she has to respond, you know, to anything. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that was interesting was while they were doing their thing, you know, you can do a super chat, right, where you donate a couple bucks to their channel and you ask a question, stuff like that. And James is a good guy. I like to try to support him a little bit. So I popped a question up in there because she was talking about one of the things she referenced in terms of morality was the golden rule. And so I fired a question in there saying basically, you know, the golden rule breaks down. Christopher Hitchens addressed this during a debate, saying basically, you know, the golden rule breaks down. He said, what are we to do when we're faced with someone like Charles Manson? I want him treated differently than I want to be treated. And her response to that, was dishonest. It was wholly dishonest, because what she said was, it's do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. But a part of that is also, you know, the thought of justice, because, you know, God is a God of justice as well as love. Mm-hmm. And so I sent her a private message saying, you know, can you back that up? I'd love to see a citation. So I went to the Bible. There are, in fact, only two references that I could find that talk about the golden rule. The first one's Matthew 7:12, and the second one is Luke 6:31. And neither one of them say anything about justice at all. And so I think... I mean, she was on the losing side of that discussion. Skylar really pinned her to the wall. She didn't even attempt to she didn't address his arguments in any way, shape, or form. And she didn't even attempt to defend objective morality. And this is something I don't know if I've ever asked you, Dean, but do you think that objective morality is a thing? That something is right or wrong independent of what someone thinks about it?
I've struggled with this one because I'd like to believe that there is, but I really don't think there is, because it's all dependent on who you are and what you are. I mean, like, if an alien race came here and considered us like ants and decided to step on us and squish us out, is that it's wrong to us to just snuff us out, but it's not to them. So yeah. How can it be objectively wrong?
Yeah.
It's not. It's completely subjective. It's subjective on on the subject. I mean, it's I don't think there is. I don't think there's objective morality. I don't think things are wrong just regardless, because it all depends on your viewpoint. I mean, cannibalism could be considered something that's objectively wrong, but there are cultures who ate people.
Yep. And it's right? interesting, yeah.
It wasn't wrong to them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the one main thing that everybody would find child molestation or whatever, I would find that objectively immoral.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if you're moving around a little bit, brother, but you gacked out once there.
Oh, did I? Yeah. Okay. I'll try and stay still.
Yeah. Sorry, were you finished?
No, I was just saying it all depends. Like right now we have certain things that we think are wrong regardless of who you are or regardless of your viewpoint. But I mean, it all depends on zeitgeist at the time, because it can change.
Yeah, the social zeitgeist is something that's interesting. And it's funny because there's, you know, what the Christian will typically say is, oh, is it wrong? But is it really wrong? You know, which is just, you know, and they appeal to, then they toss in, you know, like, is it absolutely wrong? Like the word absolute has some kind of special magical meaning or something like that. And it is interesting. And I look at it as sometimes kind of underhanded. And I think, like I said, I think borderline dishonest. I printed out a bunch of stuff on the golden rule. But what I found really interesting was she said one of the things you have to do is you have to look at what the meaning of the golden rule is. And so if I went to Christianity.com, I thought that's got to be a safe source, right? Mm-hmm. Just fucking Christianity.com. And like I said, it gives two versions. So the first one says, so in everything do unto others that you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law of the prophets, Matthew 7:12. And then the other one says, do unto others you would have them do unto you, Luke 6:31. I did a Bible search under Bible Gateway and Bible Hub and, you know, typed in, you know, golden rule into their search engine. And those are the only, on each site that I checked, those are the only ones. So I'm curious. Anyway, I sent her a response. Be curious to see whether or not she gets back to me or not on that little thing. But I wanted to mention that. Okay, so moving.
But also, do unto others as you would have done unto yourself is also it varies among persons. I mean, there are those people that whip themselves when they have
the self-flagellation. Thoughts. Sure,
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, so impure thoughts, they should be whipped. That's not how I want to be treated.
Exactly.
But it is the way you would like me to treat you if you did the same thing.
No, so
it varies among person.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And it's funny, like I think Hitch encapsulated it really well, saying, you know, what do we do when we're presented with someone like Charles Manson or Ted Bundy or, you know, John Wayne Gacy, these types of people. It's like, in SJ's response, what she said, well, you know, we have to temper it with justice so that they do, you know, pay a price according to, you know, to societal rules. And I didn't think about this till afterwards. I'm like, well, what do you mean societal rules? The Bible's really clear. The wages of sins are death. Mm-hmm. There is only one punishment for sin in the Bible. Only one punishment exists in the Bible. So, you know, when you get into the Levitical laws where it talks about, you know, having to pay for silver, you know, like for things and stuff like that, that's outside because the Bible clearly says, I forget what the verse is, but it says the wages of sin are death, period.
Well, if we judged everybody by the Bible's rules and killed them for pretty much any offense.
There would not be, there certainly wouldn't be 7-ish billion people on the planet.
Oh, no. And there would be hundreds of thousands slaughtered daily.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. So anyway, that's just a little bit of a side piece there. So we can get into the news. The first thing I want to talk about is our friend, Dave Fitzgerald, author of Jesus Mything in Action. He did I think I put him as the bumper to this episode. Complete Heretic's Guide to Western Religions. All that fun stuff. He mm-hmm. is. He and his wife Dana do another series. One of them is called Time Shards. Check that stuff out if you're into sci-fi books. It's cool. But he sent a message. He put a post out there on Facebook that he's started working on the next book in the Heretics Guide. So it's going to be the complete Heretics Guide to Western Religion. And this is on the Jehovah's Witnesses. So this is going to be really good. I sent him a message, and I don't know whether I shared this. I've shared it with lots of people, but I'm not sure if I shared it on the podcast or not. But, pardon me. Honestly, guys, I'm not sick. These are just my allergies. And one of the ways that I get a little bit of a nasal drip and it irritates my throat, causes me to cough. So I have a lozenge in my mouth right now. I'm not sick at all. So I studied with Jehovah's Witnesses for a total of between 4 and 5 years over three separate occasions. I've read all their books, went to their conferences, went to their Bethel in Georgetown, which is a suburb outside of Toronto. I've done a lot of studying with them, worked with several witnesses. And so I sent Dave a message saying, hey, blah, blah, blah. He sent me an email back with a questionnaire. I wanted to put this out there for everybody. If anyone hearing this is a former JW or a current JW that wants to share some insight, I doubt there's a whole lot of Jehovah's Witnesses listening to this podcast, but hey, probably not. But to any former J-dubs that are out there, you can send David Fitzgerald an email. His email is everybodylovesdave@gmail.com. In the subject header, put for JW book, and he'll send you the questionnaire, and you can fill that in as much or as little detail as you feel comfortable with. He's in the research phase of the book now. Like when he did the Mormons, it was about a year or so for him to put the book out, because he really does, he does rely on a lot of input from others. And we're going to have him back on the podcast for sure as it gets closer to promote that and to talk about that, because, the books that he does, if you haven't read Book One, The Mormons, go the fuck out and buy that. He also did Jesus, Mything in Action, which is a three-part book. It's three books. Just go get it. You won't be disappointed. If you buy Book One, The Mormons, and read it and you don't like it, I'll say I'm sorry. I'm not going to get 250,000 people saying, I didn't like the book, just to get the money back. And then I have to sleep on the street and hold a tin cup. So that's not going to happen. But it's a great book. He's a great author. He puts a lot of time, energy, and research into this shit. So give it a look. It's well worth it. Okay. Now we have to address a good part of the good bits of the news today are about what our world is facing right now. Mm-hmm. So, Dean, Tennessee, right? I'm sure there are some super smart people in Tennessee. The people we're about to talk about aren't among them. So this news story comes from Hemnet Mehta, the friendly atheist, who was on Jeopardy. Did you see that?
Yeah. No, I missed that.
Yeah, so you can probably find it on YouTube or something like that. Hemnet Mehta, the friendly atheist, was on Jeopardy last week. I think he won the first day. I don't know. I didn't really pay that much attention because I'm not smart enough to watch Jeopardy. I watched Jeopardy and I realized how stupid I am.
So well, I didn't bother. So it's difficult for me to get those things.
Yeah. So this story is from March 18th. Tennessee church brags about holding services despite coronavirus, and they put, in quotes, hysteria. It's just hysterical. Yeah. So many churches are closing down in order to keep their congregations and communities safe in the face of the coronavirus outbreak, but not the Apostolic Faith Tabernacle in Clarksville, Tennessee. They're bragging about the fact how they refuse to embrace the hysteria and will therefore open regularly for Sunday services. We mentioned this maybe just before we hit the... Oh, no, it was after we hit the record button. Like, you're just going to make people sick.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard anything about what the... There exists within populations, you know, whenever someone is faced with a population's faced with a virus, an outbreak or something like that, there's always a degree of people who have immunity.
Yeah, there's natural immunity.
Yeah.
There's always a percentage of
have you heard, whatever it is. Have you heard what it is for COVID? I haven't heard anything about it.
It's COVID. Very difficult. It's very difficult to tell because... they're testing people, and people come out positive, people come out negative. You have no idea if the negative ones have been in contact with those that are infected and in contact enough to become infected. It's extremely difficult to know who the natural immune ones are. And it's immoral to test for that.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Go in this room. Let's see if you get sick.
There's always percentage, but it's extremely difficult to know who that is. I mean, if you watch the movie Contagion, you realize that the very early on in the movie that Matt Damon is one of the naturally immune people in the movie. But, you know.
Yeah, that was I watched that movie for the first time several years ago. I watched it once. I'm like, well, okay, yeah, well, whatever. It was a different take on that movie Outbreak, right?
Yeah.
From years ago. And I was, okay, cool, whatever. But now it's like on Netflix, I think it's the number one movie in Canada.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like the Outbreak, the Dustin Hoffman Outbreak movie was thing, which is what was going around when that movie was made.
Yeah.
But Contagion was released, you know, several years ago. And it's basically what we're facing right now, except it's much more deadly. But it's transmitted and very much like the flu. The initial symptoms are very much like the flu. And then it kills, like, I can't remember what the mortality rate was of the contagion disease, but it was very high.
Yeah, it was. So there was another one. I didn't get time because I only just saw it a little while ago. But anybody looking can go on my Facebook page and see that I posted a video maybe less than an hour ago. This basically CNN was doing reporting. They were going to this church and they were stopping people in their cars going to this church parking lot saying, like, aren't you worried going to this church? And the woman's like, I'm not worried. I'm covered by the blood of Jesus.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? What now? It's like, first of all, ew. And second, you know, it's like, wash yourself, have a shower. But yeah, there are people that really believe that.
But that's the thing. Like I said, like I commented on your post on Facebook that I don't wish illness on anybody. And this is a particular one that you don't want anybody to get, just in case you have, you succumb to it or have comorbidities. But I mean, people like this are the ones that need a slap from illness and saying, like, look, you thinking that you're covered in the blood of Jesus is not going to stop you from getting ill.
Yeah.
And it's not going to stop you from transmitting it to others.
And that's the kicker.
These people are the ones that need the slap in the face from COVID. And they need to be admitted to hospital. And they need to see what's going on in hospitals and what a shit job their government has done of trying to stem the flow of this disease. And it's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
And like I said in that comment to your post, she's not going to get sick. And nobody in her close circle of friends will get sick. And she's going to think it was all a bunch of craziness that the liberals are trying.
Yep. Hallelujah.
And this is like, I mean, if this continues on the way the 1918 pandemic went on, it kind of slowed down in the summer and then it resurged October, November.
Yeah.
And this is just going to push Trump right into a second term, because I don't even know how they're going to deal with an election if we're still social distancing.
That's interesting. And I mean, there will be people who will scream bloody murder about that. But then, and there's a part of me that, like, so that what you just said has me incredibly conflicted, because Trump is a fucking diarrhea nightmare. Like, he's just horrid. But like, do we have to move it to all online voting? Like, is that the solution? How would that work? Is that,
well,
just
my friend was saying they'll make ballot boxes that are like, you know, remote, like, you know, remote or something. And he goes, I know a company in Russia that's willing to make lots of them.
Oh, geez. Yeah. Sad but true. Yeah, it's very interesting. I don't know that. I'm trying not to think about November because that has me scared.
Well, I mean, Biden is, you know, the nominee, and even if Corona just went away like today, like they had a vaccine and they vaccinated everybody and Corona was no longer a thing. When Biden and Trump do a debate, Biden's going to get destroyed.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're both in cognitive decline, but Biden's really shows up when he goes into a debate.
Yeah. No, it's interesting. Jason Sudeikis, one of the old alumni from SNL, he was on SNL a month back or so back doing his Biden impression.
Oh, yeah.
And it was really funny because he's like, you know, 4 score and clickety clack ago, you know, and like, just like fucking he talks, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you a story about when I was a kid, you know, it was, you know, everything was horse-drawn cart, but it was harsh and I'm not sure what's going to happen. But as it stands right now, I stand by my prediction from many months ago when there were many more Democrats still in the field, still in the running. Even now, there is not a Democrat that will beat Trump at the polls.
Yeah.
And
Bernie had the best chance, both when Hillary was running and now.
Yeah.
Bernie has the best chance of beating him. I mean, his big platform is Medicare for all. And right now is when that is the reason for that, the need for that is underscored very hard because people are being laid off from their jobs and that's where they get their health care.
Mm-hmm.
And when this many people are out of work and have no health care and then get sick, what the fuck do you do? Single payer health care is required.
Yep.
In the States. There is no argument, especially now, there is zero argument for saying no to single payer care in the States.
Yep.
People rely on their employers to give them health care. And what happens when something like this happens and thousands and tens of thousands of people are pushed out of their jobs and now they no longer have health care?
Yeah. Well, the latest statistic that I saw was that 80% of the workforce in the U.S. is on basically mandatory lockdown. Okay. That equates to somewhere in the neighborhood of 270 million people.
Yeah.
Now, the statistic that I saw was that only about 25% of them have the capacity to actually do their job from home. So the other 212 million people they just don't have a job anymore.
Yeah, so those 212 million people, that's probably a large percentage of those, let's say 180 million, also don't have healthcare from their employers anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And what happens if they get sick?
Yeah.
Can they go to the hospital? Can they afford it? They don't have a job.
Yeah. And that's the thing, right? We talked about this before. You know, it's like when you go to the doctor or the hospital in the US, it's like, and how would you like to pay for your visit today?
Exactly. Which is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
It shouldn't even occur to you. Like when if I was to get sick or we were to break a bone or, you know, God forbid be in some sort of horrible accident, you just go to the hospital. You let them fix you and then you go home and try and get better like as much as possible.
Yep.
The thought of how am I going to pay for that doesn't even enter your mind and nor should it.
Yeah. Yep. You can walk into a hospital in Canada.
On top of everything else.
Yeah. You walk into a hospital in Canada and you don't need anything but your health card.
Exactly.
You can leave your wallet in the glove box of your car and just take your health card. And
well, you're going to need it when you leave the parking lot.
Well, yeah. Yeah. But, you know, then, yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, I suppose that's true. But, I mean, beyond that, you're good.
Yeah.
And this is...
Well, there's people trying to change that right now. They're saying that the cost of parking at a hospital is now becoming an impediment to healthcare.
And it could well be. I remember, our in-laws, right? They're both seniors.
Yeah.
And it was last year around this time. Last year on this time ish, yeah, that my father-in-law spent about a month in hospital. You know, he's 80 and has some problems. And he was in the hospital for a month, you know, 26 days. And I would take his wife down, my mother-in-law. I took her down a few times. And every time I went down, it was $25 to park. You know, because you park for, you know, it's like, you know, it's $5.50 each half hour. You know, every 15 minutes to a maximum of $25. So once you've been there for, an hour, it's $25.
Yeah.
Right. So
just like when I was, I mean, I had testicular cancer and, after they, after the operation, I had to go in for checkups every once in a while. Like they followed me for 10 years afterwards to make sure that it didn't reoccur or spread or anything like that. But every time I went down there, even though I had an appointment for early in the morning or whatever, I was there for hours.
Yeah.
It was the amount of money to pay at the parking lot. And it's exactly what they say. A lot of people there are older. They are on, you know, fixed incomes, whatever. And if they have to go to the hospital and pay that kind of money just to park there. And then even when Meredith used to work at the hospital, people would come in and say, I have an appointment with Dr. Wood. And then she's like, no, you don't. That's like next week. So usually her doctor would say, I'll see them anyway. And she would get really mad at that because he'd rejuggle his schedule. But anyway, like if they come in error, then they have to pay a bunch of money to park there. And then they have to come in again and pay a bunch of money. It is an impediment to healthcare.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But again, we don't have to go to the hospital and then get a bill for hundreds and possibly thousands and tens of thousands of dollars.
Yeah. Yeah. I still remember my dad in 1984. 1987, he had a second bypass operation. You know, my dad at one time, he had the dubious honor of being the recipient of the most bypasses in the world.
Wow.
Yeah. He had his first one was a quadruple.
Wow.
And his second
another one?
And the one after that was another quadruple. So he had 8 bypasses done. Yeah, he was a truckload of problems. Anyway, he had our OHIP, you know, Ontario Hospital Insurance Plan, and in addition to that, he also had supplemental insurance through his work, which gave him, you know, semi-private room coverage and yada yada yada.
Yeah.
Somehow through a billing error, a duplicate of the bill was sent to our house, in addition to being sent to Sun Life Insurance at the time. So $1987, right? He was in the hospital for almost 2 weeks.
Yeah.
He was in ICU for the first 6 days of that, after the operation, all that other stuff, the medications, this, that, and the other thing. The bill to the insurance company was just north of $190,000.
Wow.
But
you don't have insurance. If that bill actually comes to you and is expected to be paid,
and that's
how do you deal with it?
Yeah, and that's why the number one cause for bankruptcy in the U.S. is illness, which is a sobering thought.
Yeah, that sicko movie from Michael Moore. I mean, it's a movie about people with health insurance.
Yeah,
and how they're bankrupt and moving in with their kids and stuff like that.
Yep. Hey, so I want to take a second now to switch gears here to talk about your friend of mine, Cameron Bertuzzi, from Capturing Christianity. So he put out this tweet this week, and I couldn't resist. So his tweet was, quote, "This is actually a salient point. Theistic explanations don't necessarily compete with scientific explanations." And what he was doing, he was retweeting something from a guy called The Tentative Apologist. And the tweet was, "The zero-sum mindset of the secular fundamentalist. If science doesn't do it, obviously God didn't." Okay?
Hmm.
My response was, we agree 100%. They don't compete. They contradict. And the response to that from this guy who calls himself Real Human Being was, you're sitting down, right?
Yes, I am.
4 words. Then science is wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you cut out there a second, brother.
Oh, I said I did read that.
That is staggering. Because science,
flat out, science is wrong.
Yeah, science is wrong. If it's not God, because science is wrong.
Yeah.
And I went into this is just the section that I cut and paste. There was quite a lengthy diatribe? Discussion, going back and forth. And then he eventually just gave up. But I thought that this was, I thought that that was very interesting. Science, no, fuck science, man. That fuck, no, wrong, wrong, yep. Wrong because reasons
if
in Jesus.
If it disagrees with what's in this book, then it's wrong.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so let's get into the news proper now. And a good deal of this is COVID related, as you can well imagine.
Well, there's another COVID thing. News stories, but there was a governor. I'm trying to figure out of where, one of the them southern states, and it was April 2nd or 1st where he was saying that he just found out that you can transmit coronavirus when you're asymptomatic.
A governor.
Yeah.
Governor of Stupidville.
He just
population him. That's like, that's dangerous.
What? This is what? I mean, it's how are you that ignorant of what's going on?
Jesus.
Yeah.
Wow, that's startling. Yeah, and you know what? What's really shocking about a situation like that? He's talking, you know, governors, senators, people like that. These are people who are supposed to have their fingers on the pulse. These are real decision makers.
Yeah, they have. Yeah, that's what they were saying. Like somebody like that is that ignorant and that, like, you know, and doesn't have his finger on what's on the pulse of what's going on.
Yep.
Or.
Yeah. Well, look,
making decisions that affect thousands of other people.
Yeah. Well, listen. The good news is we don't have to worry. Because Kathy DeGraw, she's got this all figured out. So Christian prophetess has said, just, and so this will just, you know, just, I can't see you right now, sadly. So I won't be able to watch your shoulders drop, you know, but I'll be able to hear you exhale with just a point of relief. Kathy DeGraw has commanded the pandemic to be utterly abolished. Yeah.
It doesn't care about what you say or what you think that your God is going to do.
She's got to figure it out, Dean. Listen. Okay, so you know what we'll get rid of, what will rid the world of COVID-19? Not a vaccine. Not global self-quarantining. Just faith. Kathy DeGraw, who is working on, basically what she's doing is she has said, I am going to scare this virus into submission. Quote, I command every disease agent, virus and pandemic, to be utterly abolished, completely done. I order, direct, and command every disease and spirit of infirmity operating through this virus and pandemic to dissolve and disappear. And I do this in the name of Jesus. I speak and announce that we are covered in the blood of the Lamb, ew, and we are healed. She's not done. Every dark force operating and fueling the spirit of destruction, death and illness over the world, I annihilate your powers. I bind you and I restrict you. I prevent you from infiltrating more human bodies. I instruct, direct, and order you to be paralyzed, unable to function further, unable to move forward, in the name of Yeshua Messiah Jesus. Hey, she's not done.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus, you got that right. I command sickness and disease attempting to infiltrate my body to cease and desist your assignments. I proclaim you will suspend every demonic activity against me in Jesus' name. You were saying before about someone who needs the slap of illness. Can we put hers on the end of a hammer?
The question here is, do you think that she actually believes that she...
Okay, and this is hard, right? Because we start to drift into which of the apologists are sincere in their faith. I know lots of sincere believers, right? People who truly believe and who are decent people. I think they're wrong, but I think they're decent people. And then we have people who I am convinced know they're fucking lying. I think this woman is one of those people.
Yeah.
Either that or she's just that dumb fucked.
But if she does believe that, okay, if she doesn't think that she's having an effect on the virus, then why is she doing it?
Because she can put an 800 number at the bottom of the screen and say, "Help me, I need your donations." Yep. Ugh, exactly. Fucking exactly. Kenneth Copeland. You saw him. He's in a bunch of hot water right now. He put this oil on his hand and he reached out to the camera and he said, "Touch my oily hand through the TV screen or some shit like that and I'll cure your coronavirus."
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't hear about that.
Just Google Kenneth, just Google oily handed preacher, which may be hard to narrow down.
See how good Google is.
Yeah. Actually, you know what? I'm going to get this. This dumb fuck is stupid enough to put it out there. I'm going to give you his number. Call 877-281-6297 and just troll the fuck out of this guy. That's right. I said it. This fucking guy is, not only is he a charlatan, but he's like, this is the same guy who said back in the 80s, if you don't give me $5 million, Jesus is going to kill me. And yeah, they fucking did it.
There's somebody called the Greasy Hands Preacher, and I think that's what Google is giving me.
Maybe. He's just a...
Anyway, Kenneth Copeland.
Yeah, it wasn't Oral Roberts, was it? No, I was pretty sure it was Kenneth Copeland.
Anyway, that's just ridiculous.
Yeah. It's completely dumb fuck. Jim Baker.
What are you doing? What are you doing? There's a lot of noise there.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know what. Nothing? That was weird. Yeah, I don't know. That was weird. Jim Baker's in some hot water.
Again?
Yeah, the New York Attorney General's office has ordered... has issued a cease and desist order because he has been trying to sell this or not. He's not saying that it's a cure for coronavirus, but he had somebody on his show who's touting it as a cure for coronavirus. Her name is Lisa Landau. And I think actually we have we have audio of her, yeah. But I thought that was really funny. So basically the New York Attorney,
is this the silver stuff?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
This was a while ago.
Yeah, but now that the Attorney General has said, you better stop that shit. We're gonna take your house again.
Yeah.
And actually, that leads us into our audio. Since we just talked about that one, I'll play that one first. Should be worth a good laugh. None of these audio clips are very long today, so that'll be good. We're at about almost at 50 minutes, so today may be a shorter episode, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. So here's the first one. Here's Baker Boy and his friend Lisa Landau.
Okay. Influenza that is now circling the globe. You're saying that silver solution would be effective.
Well, let's say it hasn't been tested on this strain of the coronavirus, but...
Okay, so I got to stop that. Well, let's just say it hasn't been tested. Nine out of ten doctors...
I can guarantee it'll kill it. It hasn't been tested, though.
Yeah. 9 out of 10 doctors think the 10th doctor's an idiot. Come on. Give me a break.
But it's been tested on other strains of the coronavirus and has been... able to eliminate it within 12 hours.
Yeah.
totally eliminate it, kills it, and deactivates it.
Yeah.
And then it boosts your immune system, so then you can support the recovery, because when you kill the virus, then the immune system comes into action to clear it out. So you want a vibrant immune system as well as an ability to deactivate these viruses.
That's so good.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
That's so good.
What were we going to say?
I'm just saying that she's like, that's so good.
It's
like,
yeah.
No, you don't understand anything, do you?
That's not how the world works. That's not how this works.
You can't just say there's something in, that we haven't tested then it's going to kill off this globe.
Yeah. Well, you cut out there a second, brother.
Oh, I'm just saying, you can't just take something that you say kills viruses and say it's going to cure you from this global pandemic that's going around.
Nope. Well, you can try.
Well, yeah, you can say it all you want.
Yeah. It's not true. You can say it, but none of it's going to do anything.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Okay, so the next one. This I found really interesting. So you know, things like methamphetamines are illegal, right? We know this.
They are.
Driving while intoxicated, it's against the law, right? Well, there's another prophetess out there named Cindy Jacobs, and she has declared that the coronavirus is illegal.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Make it illegal.
Yeah, have at it. So here's, and what's interesting is this is one too. It's got the, listen to the music in the background. I find this interesting.
I think it's interesting. If she declares it illegal, does that mean that people who are infected with coronavirus should get charged because they're the ones creating more virus within them?
Maybe. Or this gives, this gives ICE a lot more to focus on. Where do you deport them?
I don't know.
To China? Do they go to jail or do they get deported?
Because
it's the virus.
Well, if they're deported, they need to go back to the person who infected you.
Oh, wow.
Right? Because that's where they were created.
How do we find that out? Okay. Here's Miss Jacobs.
We're going to decree that the coronavirus will cease worldwide. Now, what's going to happen? I don't know.
Nothing. But, listen to the music, like this music going on in the background, and her voice could bend steel, but it's the music in the background I find really funny.
Everybody will get healed. I don't know. We're praying. We prayed for vaccines. We prayed for Israel. We prayed. They have vaccines. We have people interceding across the.
Does Israel have a vaccine for coronavirus?
No.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
Nobody does.
We heard Israel has a virus, has a vaccine. Who told? Maybe Jim Baker told her that.
Yeah.
We don't know.
I don't think she knows what a credible source is.
No. No, she looks at the Bible as credible.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Face of the earth. Listen, ISIS has been going to Wall Street. I mean, this is all over. I have to tell you, intercessors are on this.
Like a montage. Yeah. You listen to the drums like bum bum, like she's building up, right? She's
you're right about
up.
Her voice though. My god.
I know her just fucking Ben Steele. What I find really interesting in this is the Bible is really clear. Right? I posted this on Facebook a little while ago. Psalm 121:7 says God will keep you safe from all harm.
Yeah.
right? So why do we need any of this stuff? Why do we need any of this stuff?
Yeah, God's got your back.
That's right. God got your back. He got you. He got you. You are illegal.
Did you just get the emergency alert?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
I didn't read it. I had to tap off of it to be able to control the audio. What did it say? It
just says, stop the spread. COVID-19 can be deadly. The time to act is now. Everyone but essential workers need to stay home. Only go out if absolutely necessary to pick up groceries, prescriptions, or go to a medical appointment. Ignoring self-isolation or physical distancing advice can have devastating effects and endanger lives. Protect yourself and others. Stay home. Learn more at covid19.ontario.ca.
Sounds reasonable to me.
Mm-hmm. That's the one thing I don't understand, actually. I was talking to Meredith about this, and I think she even posted something about it on Facebook. Honestly, why can't we go out for a walk?
Yeah, I saw her post about that, and I thought it was interesting. I think
why can't
that
we just go for a walk? I mean, if there's other people approaching us on the sidewalk, then we switch to the road. We are nowhere near 2 meters close to anybody on our walk.
Yeah.
The kids need to get out. They can't be stuck inside all the time. So we go for a walk, long, short, whatever, and we walk around the neighborhood.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't come in contact with anybody. We're not gathering in a group of people or anything like that. We're certainly not going on play dates, like which I saw at the beginning of this. Even before they roped off the parks, the kids were asking if they could park, and I say we can walk by the park and say, hey, look, that would be fun, and keep going. But we're not touching anything at the park. I mean, these are laws that I had to lay down before they wrote them off, and now they wrote them off so the kids can see that I was right. But anyway, so that's one good thing. But like, we're not coming close to anybody. And the outside air is cleaner than the air inside your house. You're not going to get sick just by walking around.
It's interesting. I'm behind that too. I think that as long as you're safe, I think the worry is that people may fall into the old patterns.
That's the thing that I was thinking too. It's give them an inch, they'll take a mile, yeah. Right? So people will start gathering outside and stuff like that. But I mean, you got to keep the social distancing is still in place. You cannot gather in groups. You cannot get too close to people. But there's no reason you can't go outside.
Yeah, it's funny. Shannon and I went for a walk, I guess, last Sunday. And we took Finn out just to get him some exercise. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people were walking. We did what you did. We walked, you know, like there's no fucking, nobody's driving around. We went out into the center of the road. You know, we were 40 feet apart.
Mm-hmm.
I think the warning comes from, and now, like, even like, you know, the city of Toronto, this is what they said, you know, maintain social distancing 2 meters apart, so, you know, 6 feet, 7 feet, whatever. I think the warning comes from, one, like I said, people falling into old habits. And two, because we're still learning about how the virus lives and travels and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
we may not know how long it can survive airborne, right?
Well, I heard somewhere that, you know, like the sneeze particles, the tiny little droplets that stay aerosolized, that don't fall immediately.
Yeah.
And they can stay in the air and the virus can live just floating around the air for 3 hours.
Yeah.
So if somebody was in an elevator and they were coughing and sneezing all over the place in the elevator and then got out of the elevator and went about their day, and then like 2 hours later, you come in and use that same elevator, you can get the virus just by breathing in that elevator.
Yeah, assuming there's no ventilation in that elevator, which they're supposed to have. But yeah. No, I understand what you're saying. Yeah, and so I think that it's that. I think you hit the nail on the head. I think it's those things. You know, the fear of people falling into the old habits, not understanding everything. But I also agree with you firmly that I mean, there are, like, to hell with, you know, like, to hell with just having kids, like, which, you know, kids got exercise too, right? Fine. And keep them from going crazy and keep them from driving you crazy.
Yeah.
But also, the mental health component of this.
Exactly. I mean, it's spring in Canada.
Yeah.
If we can't go outside, we're going to shrivel up and die.
Yeah.
We've been locked inside our houses for the last 6 months. We need to go outside.
Yeah, exactly. It's like when, it's like with Shannon and I, it's like, I only go outside when I fucking have to. It's like, and right now with, you know, the work that I do, I'm deemed an essential service.
Yeah.
So I'm still going to work, and work has put in, you know, work has put in a lot of, you know, as many safeguards as can be expected.
Yeah.
For me. I don't feel unsafe going to work. If I felt unsafe, I wouldn't go.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's fine. And Shannon's in the same boat. She has to go to work.
Yeah.
I'm
one of the lucky ones. I can work from home. I mean,
yeah. So there's, it's an interesting kind of thing, but you know, I think that, you know, people who don't love the winter, don't like the cold weather. They've, like you said, they've been fucking hibernating inside for 6 months and all they were doing was waiting for spring. And now spring's here and it's like, stay home. And they're like, fuck off. I want to go outside. What do you mean? What do you mean stay home? I've been home for, like you said, I've been home for six fucking months. Open my fucking door and go. You know, you can go in the backyard, stuff like that, but it's not the same thing, right? It's not the same thing for sure. Okay, well, our last story is none other than Trump's spiritual advisor, Paula White, who's a treasure trove of hilarity. Now, so she went to heaven, and she went to heaven, and she's gonna tell us about it. She's gonna scoff her. She's gonna tell us about it, and then I'm gonna point out how dumb she is. Okay, here we go.
My spirit went up, and I literally went to the throne room of God.
Again, listen to the music. It's fascinating.
I won't say much, but I'll say something that's important for me to teach you here today. So in that divine encounter, I don't know how long I was there. I just know that kind of power is almost impossible for a natural body to contain. And as I went to the throne room of God, first I saw there was a mist that was coming off the water, and I went to the throne of God.
Sorry, what? There's a mist coming off the water.
So there's water.
There's water. Is this the water above the firmament?
Maybe
this is people forget, right? Like people talk about it's one of the things it's one of the things that we that teaches us, that makes us absolutely sure that the Bible's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Bible talks about a firmament, and the Bible, it says that, you know, basically God said, let there be a firmament separating the waters below from the waters above. So because people were stupid and they didn't understand that the atmosphere is blue for reasons, they thought it was water. Yeah. They figured it was water. I watched a video once about talking about why,
stupid. You know,
why the atmosphere was blue. It had to do with, like, basically, like water prisms and reflections and stuff like that, and the oxygen content versus the, like, there's a scientific reason why the sky looks blue.
Well, it's just it's refractions. It's the way that it's the wavelengths of light coming from the sun, the way they get refracted around. When in the midday, it passes through very little atmosphere, so that the color that is bounced, the wavelength of light that is bounced around the most, is on the blue side of the spectrum. Now, in the morning and in the evening, when the sun is passing through a large amount of atmosphere, the blue, the greens, those get all filtered out. Those are bounced around and get filtered out. And so the only ones that we see are the long side of the wavelength, which is the oranges and reds.
Yeah, so what Dean said. I watched the video. I didn't pay as much attention as you did, obviously. But no, so it's like we know why, right? But so a firmament, right? We know that's not real, right? We know it's impossible. The same as in Revelation, it says that stars will fall from the sky. We know that's absolutely fucking impossible. The closest star to us, our sun, you know, was it 220 million miles or something like that? No, 93 million miles. Is it 93 million miles?
The sun is 93 million, between right. 91 and 93 million miles away. Right. 8 light minutes.
Right. So if that, and we are in its gravitational pull, not the other way around. So if.
Well.
If. The
we can, we're yeah. both. We're both spinning around a center point.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. But we are drawn to it more than it's drawn to us. If the sun started to quote unquote fall, first of all, it would vaporize Earth long before it ever got to us. It certainly wouldn't be able to fall through our atmosphere. But this is just how stupid people were. They saw a little pinpoint. They're like, oh, that could fall, right? And they see meteors, right, or you know, little meteors passing through the atmosphere. Oh, look, it's a shooting star. Right? You remember that as a kid. Oh, look at a shooting. It's not a fucking star. We'd all be dead if it was a star.
Most of it is like tiny little space rocks that brush against the atmosphere.
Exactly. Baseball size or fuck, who knows, whatever.
Less. Much less.
But what's really, really funny is these are just examples of how they don't know fuck all. Right? These people don't know fuck all. And yet this was supposed to be the inspired word of God, right? So, anyway, for all of those going to heaven, because Dean and I clearly won't be there, it'll be nice to know that you can have spa days because there's water in heaven.
With mist coming off of it.
There's a mist coming off the water, yeah. So it's like, it'll be like a giant scented candle.
And I didn't see God's face clearly, but I saw the face of God. Wasn't it clear? Not like I could see your face clearly, but I knew it was the face of God. And as God began...
How do you know that it wasn't God and just a guy walking around the mister? Are you still there, Dean? Oh, fuck. Did he die out? Okay, pause 1 second, people. We got to get Dean back. Andy's back, so we'll continue. Hang on. Just the audio is almost done.
He put a mantle on me. It was a very distinct mantle. I had no idea that Apostle had prophesied. I think you said that there was a mantle that was coming upon me, that there was a new mantle coming upon me. And there was a mantle, and I saw it very distinctly. The color was like a goldish, but it was a yellowish goldish, a little bit different than your scarf, a little bit brighter than your scarf there.
So she's pointing at people in the audience and trying to connect with them.
Yeah.
Oh, it's different than your thing and different, but it was kind of like this and kind of like that. Yeah.
And then I saw the earth for a moment, and then he brought me back and he put me in certain place.
Was it round or flat? We're just kidding, people. We know the earth is flat.
You take it back.
Places, one being the White House, one being certain continents. It was a mass move. I didn't come out of that really until the next morning.
Yeah. So what you said, she had a dream.
Yeah.
A dumb fuck. So I thought it would be interesting to go to the Bible. So there's a couple of different references to seeing God in the Bible. So Genesis 32:30, Jacob said, "It is because I have seen God face to face, and yet my life was spared." So I don't know why Paula didn't get a full facial from God. But, well, people, I had to go there someday. And yet, now, Exodus says something different. Exodus 33:20 says, "You cannot see my face, nor can anyone see my face and live. Now, around our parts, we call that a contradiction. Which is it, people? Did Jacob see his face? Or can nobody see his face? And what did Paula say? How do we know, like I said, how do we know Paula didn't just see the guy who's holding the big misting can?
Well, didn't we, have we talked to several people who profess that there are no contradictions in the Bible?
Yes, we have, in fact. We have, in fact. But you know what? The Bible is a book, and I'll say this, and some people will be like, whoa, I can't believe he said that. The Bible is a book that never disappoints. Anytime you want to find something completely barbaric, anytime you want to find something completely inhumane, every time you're looking for a contradiction, the Bible comes through time and time again.
Yep. It's good for what ails you.
Exactly. Well, that puts us at hour. Hey, we made up some time there. That puts us at an hour and 10.
Cool.
That's not too bad. So
I should probably go back and help my wife with the kids.
Oh, really? Well, that sucks. Yeah. You know what I'm going to do? Nothing.
Yeah, I know. Shut up.
Yeah. No, okay. So, but yeah, so sorry we were away so long. We will endeavor to do this more. Now we know that we can do this, and we know that schedules are fairly firm now for the next, 3 months for me anyway.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, you got your new schedule. That's right.
Yeah. Okay. So that'll be good. But we'll be back at you again soon. Looks like we've gotten into enough trouble. Can't believe I said facial. But it's like, am I really that surprised? Am I really? No, not really.
No,
not really. So we'll be back at you again, hopefully not too much longer than a week. Everybody, stay the fuck home unless you have no other alternative. Let's flatten that curve. Let's everybody stay healthy and safe. And we'll be back at you again soon. Dean, did you have anything else you wanted to say?
Nope, I think I'm good.
All right. Well, until next week, I have been Michael.
I have been Dean.
And we shall see you later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This has been the CA. Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard, please drop by the iTunes store and give us a review and subscribe to get the latest episodes as soon as they release. Just a reminder, the views expressed on this broadcast are solely those of the hosts and are for entertainment purposes only. Never take advice from two guys expressing an opinion on a podcast. That's just silly. See you back here soon.